Good morning, 738 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and obviously the recovery from this storm, and we are really way ahead of schedule, honestly. 95%, 94.5 as of last night of power customers in Escambia restored, 2 days ahead of the projection, 99.9. That's not an exaggeration. That's exactly the percentage of customers restored in Santa Rosa County. All good news. Three Mile Bridge, big problem. We're going to be dealing with that for a while. Joining us now, Representative Matt Gaetz. Matt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, thanks for having me, Andrew, and there is nothing like getting the power back on. That has been the principal objective, because it is hard to make life much better for our residents if they are stuck without power. So it's good to see that progress.
And that hits everything else. I mean, that's the ability to boil the water that you've been told to boil for a couple of days now. That's the power to the gas station so that people can get gas in their cars or their generators, if God forbid they're one of the few that still don't have power. So that's all to the good. I know the biggest question on everybody's mind that would relate to you is the FEMA emergency major disaster declaration. You said on Saturday you talked to Mark Meadows. He said it's coming. What should we expect?
I spoke to the president late last night. FEMA is currently completing their assessment. They've gotten the information from the county, but there is something different about these water events as opposed to wind. The assessments take just a little bit longer because it is not evident from the air that, you know, you've got roofs off or trees down. Water comes up, it goes down, and the damage is often inside. So the county, Escambia County, has done their part, and it's my expectation that we'll be getting that, if not today, tomorrow from the president. He's eager to do it. This is currently at the agency level, and we're prodding them along in that regard.
Okay, all right. Well, that's really good news, and that kind of explains the delay. It's just that it's harder to visibly see the obviousness of this being a major disaster because you don't have every roof blown off in a neighborhood and that kind of stuff. Okay, that actually makes sense to me.
That's right, and Alabama got theirs, which should give us a lot of confidence we're going to get ours. Their assessment was a little bit faster just because they got less impact than we did, but the fact that Alabama already has their major is proof positive that we will get ours. It's just that FEMA's concluding their process. I don't expect it to take more than about another 24 to 48 hours.
You were actually up in the Coast Guard plane with the governor surveying the damage. What did you see?
Again, we were mostly looking at the critical infrastructure. We flew over Ascend Materials and International Paper, over the fuel farms that are on the water. And we wanted to make sure that there wasn't going to be lasting environmental damage. But there were still active search and rescue going on, over the course of the weekend. Now we're into the phase of making the case and preparing for the recovery. I did not see the same types of things that we saw in Ivan and in Michael, because, again, this was a water event, not a windstorm event. One thing that really did frustrate me, Andrew, is that we've got people in public housing in units that flood over and over again. And the people who are placed in that government housing are at no fault. It's not their fault. They were put in a particular place. So tomorrow, the state head of the Department of Economic Opportunity will be in the district working with my staff to see if there are some owners of those properties who are just repeatedly derelict in their mitigation. And we're going to see if we can ensure that at the next major flooding event, you don't have people in dire economic situations that then find themselves in dire safety situations as well.
Well, that's good information, obviously a reassurance for those people going forward. I thought I had heard, maybe it was from when we talked to Janice Gilley on Thursday, the Escambia administrator, that Forest Creek Apartments, I think, that has historically had terrible flood problems, that maybe they did better this time, but certainly they're not the only one that we would be concerned about.
I went by Forest Creek Apartments, and those folks are truly in need of help.
Okay,
and when we saw how high the water line had gotten, it became very important to us to rectify that situation.
Okay, and I may be remembering wrong what she told me, so thank you for the clarification. One of the other things that I know everybody's very concerned about that might touch on your role here is the bridges in the area. We have had assurance from Alex Andrade and Doug Broxson that the governor and the FDOT secretary are committed to keeping the bridge toll off of Garcon Point until Three Mile is completely replaced. Can you give any perspective on that? I don't know if you were were in the meeting where he had said that or not.
Yeah. Yeah, the governor has committed to that. And, you know, the main focus now is getting the resources so that we get that rebuild underway, because there's just a big difference in people's lives 1 month, 2 months on getting the 3 mile bridge fixed. But yes, the governor will keep those tolls suspended on Garcon Point until we're able to get a permit solution on the bridge.
Now you're a lawyer. I mean, that doesn't mean you know everything about every aspect of the law, but do you have a perspective on this issue of Skanska's responsibility, given how the storm shifted and given all the damage the barges did to 3 Mile, some to the NAS Pensacola Bridge, you know, to Garcon Point, to the bobsite? I mean, you know, just all of these questions, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that that's why we have courts and fact-finding. I don't want to judge that. Obviously, this wasn't an ideal outcome for them. What I can tell you just for perspective is that even on our military installations, we found ourselves a bit surprised, not expecting a hurricane force winds, but maybe just tropical storm force winds on some of our bases. And even the Coast Guard itself only barely got underway with the vessels that we have at NAS Pensacola. And so it did catch a lot of us by surprise, but I don't think that alleviates the obligation to be prepared. And so, you know, I'm no expert in how barges are supposed to be tied down and what the standard of care is, but obviously this is a situation that they're going to have to rectify one way or the other. The good news is that they're not walking off the job with the bridge. What we don't want to see is Skanska say, well, we're in this dispute now, so we're out of the business of getting this bridge fixed and back operational. We want to make sure that occurs just because of the substantial impact on quality of life for people.
Switching to sort of national politics type stuff, the big conversation that we're having in this country right now nationally is about the nomination of the Supreme Court to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I have said that I actually wanted the Senate to hear and confirm or not Merrick Garland back in the day, so I have no problem with the president putting forward someone today. What was your position on Merrick Garland? What's your position now?
Well, my principal critique of the Senate is that they don't like to vote on stuff. I think they should have taken a vote on Merrick Garland. I'm not saying they should have confirmed him. I think they should have taken a vote one way or the other and held hearings. And I think now the Senate ought to do the same. They ought to accept the president's nominee for the sake of hearings, and they ought to put the robust review in place that ought to occur for a Supreme Court justice. I don't get this notion that we just leave stuff vacant to wait around for elections. We're Americans. We don't wait for anything. We don't even like waiting in the line at the DMV. And now the expectation would be that we would just leave this seat vacant. I'm not for that. I think the president needs to make a nomination. I think the Senate needs to hold hearings. But I also don't think that the timeline ought to be necessarily abridged. I think the advise and consent process is a very serious one. So the vote might be before the election. The vote might be after the election. But, you know, they need to get to their business. It's my hope it could happen before the election. But obviously there are externalities there, like FBI background checks and other investigations that occur.
Is it possible to get a vote like this done before January or even before the election?
You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was confirmed in fewer days than we have to confirm her replacement before the election, so it is possible. I don't think that we should artificially put a timeline on it, but I do think the Senate has to do its job. It has to begin its work. And it's my expectation after talking to the president that he's going to make a nomination, you know, toward the front end of this week.
Okay, very good. And the last thing I wanted to ask you about, this is it's an odd timing, but it just happens to be the case. You actually have your first book coming out tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I wrote a book called Firebrand. Folks can go order it on Amazon, and it's my perspective on the Congress and the work that needs to be done to reform this place. You know, we've talked often, Andrew, about my concern that Congress is increasingly bought and paid for by lobbyists and special interests. I'm the only Republican in Congress who doesn't take any PAC money at the federal level, and I hope that we can restore a new ethic so that whether or not it's dealing with climate change to reduce the strength of hurricanes, whether it's solving our budget problems, whether it's reforming the process in Congress so we can make decisions, we have to liberate ourselves from the grip that special interests have on Washington. And I'm not just going to talk the talk. I'm going to walk the walk and try to forge a better path ahead.
Now, the synopsis calls it scathingly funny, honestly. Is it scathingly funny?
It's pretty funny. And I lay bare just, you know, elements of my life. I'm a regular guy. I don't I don't hold any pretense that because I'm in politics, I, you know, am any better than anybody else. And so I do talk about some of the funnier and more interesting interactions I've had with President Trump and the First Family, whether talking about serious matters of war and peace or whether it's the president's advice to me on my dating life.
All right, very good. Thanks so much, Matt Gaetz. He is, the book is Firebrand, by the way. Matt is our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1. Matt, thanks. And by the way, I just got a text in. I think, is this right? Mark, hey, Mark, come back here for just a second. That's from FEMA? Who'd you get that text from?
Yes, we just got a news release from FEMA.
Yeah, our news release apparently just came in while you and I were talking that FEMA has declared a major disaster for Pensacola. Any comments?
Great. Well, as expected, and what that does is now that unlocks the opportunity for individual assistance for our residents and business assistance for our businesses. So that's not an end point. That's a launching off point to our next phase of work.
Outstanding. Matt Gaetz, our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Matt, thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Andrew.